Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Glad that you're here this morning on this, I guess it's spring. That's what we call this, right? We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for, pretty much as long as there have been Christians around. Did that thing freeze up on us? Oh, it's kind of written over something else. Well, here's how it goes. The Lord be with you. Yeah, I see most of you guys know how this goes. All right. Could we bow our heads and pray as we begin this morning? Thank you, God. Thank you for being so good to us. We are glad for the opportunity to gather together this morning, to come in out of the cold, out of the rain, and to have our hearts warmed by your presence, by your love for us. God, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you, that as we sing to you, that you would receive our thanks and praise. As we pray to you, that you would hear the cries of our hearts and answer. Reassure us that you, the living God, have heard us and care for us. As we read the scriptures, God, would you open our minds to hear your spirit speaking through them. As we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus, would you help us to be open to receiving your grace and be transformed by your spirit. God, you have gotten us here from all sorts of different places. And so today we just are here to say, okay, God, you got me here. Thank you. Thank you, God. Help us to say yes to you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able and interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Amen. Good morning. I think it's really amazing to think of how many people at the same time as us are all lifting their voices to God. You know, even though all we see is each other, there's just this resounding sound that's going on around the world just to praise our Lord who loves us so much. I always love this hymn because this line in there that says, you know, the vilest offender who truly believes the moment from Jesus a pardon receives, how, you know, just from that moment that you realize that you need him and you want to turn this around, he's right there for you.
Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, the glory is yours. You have done great things. And we are glad that moment that we recognize our need of you, that in that moment when we reach out to you in faith, trusting in the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ, we are so grateful that in that moment we receive pardon from you. In that moment, like the Bible says, we confess to you and you are faithful. You are just. You forgive us our sins and you wash us clean. You wash away the stain of the sin, the guilt, the shame, all of it, God. You make us new. You embrace us as your children. And so, God, today, we are not going to pretend with you. We're not going to try. It doesn't do any good. All hearts are open to you. All desires known. There are no secrets hidden from you, God. So we just offer it all up to you. We admit to you our fears. We admit to you our questions. We admit to you our sins, our failures. We admit to you, God, our joys and those areas of life that we are super excited about. God, we just open it all up to you. And we invite you to be the God who comforts, who heals, who guides, who forgives, who strengthens, who loves us. You're the God who made us. You're the God who loved us so much that when we were stuck in our sin, you sent your son Jesus for us. So God, today, because of your great love, we have confidence to approach you with our need, to be honest with you. Your word says that we can approach you like this, with this confidence, to receive from you mercy and grace to help us when we need it. So thank you, God. Thank you. We praise you for the good things you have done. We thank you for the ways you've been involved in our lives, and we call out to you for help in all those many ways that we need your help, knowing that you're the God who loves us, that you're the God who is here. Thank you, God, for your presence among us. Would you continue to help us to have hearts and minds open to you, that we might receive from you what you want to give us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's extend that peace to each other. We're going to take a couple minutes, get to shake some hands, get to welcome someone, wish them the peace of Christ, or happy. Right, everybody get one of these little welcome bulletin thingies when you came in, I hope. If not, I see a couple more back there by the Bibles and the offering box. That's if you're given a gift today, you can drop it in that offering box. Or you can give online like we do. That works. And that's where you want to drop these little welcome cards. If there's some way that I can be praying for you or following up with you this week, that would be excellent. I would love to be able to do that. I am going to be a bit busy these next couple of days. Every year, we have this annual thing called District Assembly where Churches of the Nazarene, which that's the denomination we're part of, from around Northwest Indiana get together for worship and for business type stuff. That actually starts tonight if you want to join us at, 5 o'clock. And the nice thing is it moves around. It's right here in Valparaiso at the Big Nazarene Church on the corner of Glendale and Silhavy. If you want to join us there tonight at 5, you're welcome to. There's going to be a whole lot of people there, and it's kind of a missions celebration, so we're likely to hear from somebody from some other part of the world talking about what's going on. So if you want to join us over there, it only happens once a year, and sometimes it's like down in Kokomo or something. So it's right here. It's in our backyard if you want to join us tonight. And then tomorrow is a whole day of business stuff, and there's an evening service that's a little more formal. It's an ordination service for people, new ministers who are starting their ministry. And then business, I think, will conclude Tuesday morning. But if you're interested in any of that, feel free to drop by. But I mentioned that in part two to let you know, I might not be able to follow up with you right away. So if you have something going on and you need to hear from me right away, like, talk to me today or something, all right? And then you can jot it on that card, too. But yeah, make sure your welcome card makes it into the offering box so I can follow up with you this week. Next week, we do have Living Hope 101 happening after the service. If there are enough people interested that want to be a part of that, it's an intro to the church, into who we are, what we believe, what it means to connect here. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Write it on your welcome card. There are other things coming up. You can see there, Secret Church Bible Study happening on the 20th. And, that's this week, isn't it? That's this Friday night. Wow. So if you have not already talked to Mike or Linda about it, can you wave at him, Mike? It's at their house. So, not you, Dave. Put your hand down. It's at these guys' house. And don't go to Dave's house. Nothing going on there on Friday. But Mike and Linda, if you want to join us there or on Wednesday night, it's like a six-hour thing from 6 to midnight that you can be there for all of or part of and kind of get inside the mind of what it's like to worship in a part of the world where churches have to meet in secret. But for all those who cannot do that, on Wednesday nights, I guess then starting that next, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, is that what we're doing? We'll break that into hour-long chunks, and for the next several weeks, we'll be going through that. So if you're wanting to be a part of that and you haven't already told them that you're coming, let them know, and they can tell you how to get to their house and all of that. Now, there is something else happening coming up in May that I want to make sure you're aware of. On May 19th, well, two things. One, May 19th has got two things happening, all right? In the morning, show up and walk the 6K with us across the street. Sign up ahead of time, and World Vision will send you a race bib with the child you're providing clean water for and a T-shirt, and we'll be hanging a medal around your neck that day. And it's going to be a great opportunity for you to make a difference in the life of someone that you will never meet, perhaps. Most of us will never meet those kids that we provide clean water for, but you'll get to see their face, and you'll know that's a child I provided lasting clean water to, that instead of having to walk every day for water, now they can walk to school, now they can be safe, now they don't catch the stupid diseases because the water they're drinking is contaminated. It's ridiculous. So if you want to help change that, you can sign up anytime or out in the foyer today. But then that afternoon, from noon to 4 is the kind of the window of time. We're going to have a memorial service here for Joan Wozniczka. Joan is a longtime member of our church, and her husband Tom has put together a beautiful like memorial opportunity for us. We couldn't all go to the funeral that happened when she died, so he wanted to make sure that our church family and some other friends and family had an opportunity to remember her, celebrate her life. So that's happening May 19th, starting at noon. There's going to be a catered meal, and if you'd like to help with that, help make that happen, Michelle back here, hey, Michelle. Michelle Slager is helping set up for that on the day before, on the 18th, and needs a couple people to help with serving things that day and then with cleanup afterwards. So if you're interested in helping make that happen, talk to Michelle. If you're just planning to be there, I forgot to get Tom's number in the bulletin, but he would like an RSVP to know how many folks are showing up. So if you already know right now that you're going to be there, just jot it on your welcome card so that we can have like a written thing of like, oh, okay, this is how many people to expect, and I'll let him know this week how many of you today said you plan to be there on the 19th. Otherwise, next week, I'll have his info in the bulletin. You can contact Tom directly. I'm sure that if you walk up to him today and say, hey, I'll be there, then he's going to have to like write it all down and try to keep track. And so he'd probably rather you shoot him an email or something. But We would love to have you here to help celebrate that day, celebrate her life, and give thanks along with us that she is now no longer suffering from all the different stuff that she was suffering from, that now she's up there getting to dance away, probably to some of those square dance tunes that they enjoyed, waiting for her partner to arrive. So, okay, this is a time for us when we gather together like this. You know, I've just invited you, if you have some need to jot it on a card. I know I just had somebody walk up to me, actually Tom walked up to me right as we were starting and saying, could we pray for, I already forgot her name, is it Jan? Jan, one of Joan's high school classmates, just diagnosed with cancer. Is there anybody else that this morning you're just like, Rich, I've just got this need, it's just weighing on my heart today. Could we pray real quick and just, we're going to lift up some needs today. Is there anything else that is weighing on someone that you're like, could you please mention this in prayer? And we're going to pray together in just a moment. Yeah, Mary. All right. All right. Anything else that's weighing on you today you want to lift up? And I would encourage you, these things you've mentioned, write them on a card so that if you don't already get the email that goes out with prayer requests, you can jot that on your card too. And we'll shoot an email out and it'll appear on next week's bulletin and your church family can be praying for you. And now I'm worried that I'm going to forget something, so I hope not, but we'll see. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray before we dive into God's Word together. God, we do thank you that you invite us to bring our needs, our concerns to you. You're the God who loves us. You're the God who made us. And so, God, when we lift these needs up to you, we do so knowing that that you care about us. And so many times, God, when we pray and we ask you for help, we see you responding. And sure, sometimes you don't respond in the way we would like. Sometimes instead of healing us, you give us the strength to endure a difficulty. But God, you always respond. You always are faithful to continue to love us no matter what the circumstances. We lift up Jan to you, Joan's high school classmate, as she's been diagnosed with cancer. Likewise, we lift up Diane to you, Kathy's friend. And God, we pray that you would provide healing for both of them, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them to know your presence and your love in the midst of their health crisis. And God, you know there are so many other health needs represented in this room right now and in friends and family of people in this room right now. God, we look forward to that day when death is defeated and disease will be no more, when we won't have to worry about these bodies growing frail and catching diseases and all these kinds of things. But until then, God, we rely on you for healing, for strength, for endurance, and for the awareness of your presence with us, leading us through those dark valleys back into times of refreshing and wholeness and peace. And so we pray that, God, for all who are facing health crises today. Some of us, God, are facing uncertainty, like Katie just mentioned. She's had the biopsy done, doesn't know what the results are going to be yet, wasn't real great last time, and so there's this anxiety but this hope that, please, God, could we have a different result this time? God, we pray for Katie that the results will be good, and that you'll be providing healing if they're not. And God, for all of us here who are facing, who are experiencing anxiety today, or experiencing uncertainty, and maybe we wouldn't even call it anxiety or worry or fear, but God, you know there's a little something. There's a little tickle. There's a little rumbling. There's a little worry going on. There's something happening in the back of our minds that, God, we pray for your peace. We pray that your peace would wash over us, that we would know that we are held in the hands of the God who loves us, that no matter what happens, you will not let go. And we pray for that kind of peace for Mary with her employment situation, that as she has lost a coworker and a lot more work is landing on her, God, we pray that you would guide her, give her wisdom, give her strength, give her employers understanding that they would see what they can and cannot ask of her. And please, God, if you would just guide her through this time and grant her a sense of confidence and peace that you are with her and that you are going to see her through. God, we all need that today. We all need to know that the God who made us loves us and is with us. So would you remind us of that? Would you fill our hearts with your peace, with your grace, with your love? And would you open our minds and hearts to hear your Spirit speaking as we open up the Scriptures today? We give you thanks, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you've got some notes there for this morning's message. We're continuing this series we just started last week as we're in this season of Easter and celebrating the amazing love of God that was shown to us in Jesus Christ. And we called it love works. Because love is not just a feeling that happens in our hearts. Love is an action. Love, you've heard this said in all sorts of different ways. Love is a verb. Love does. Love needs to show up, needs to be visible in our lives, or it's just kind of a nice thought, you know? And Jesus didn't call us just to have nice feelings for other people. He called us to love each other. In fact, just to review some of last week, in John chapter 13, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." With the kind of love that God has shown us, we need to love each other. And Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Wouldn't that be a great thing if all Christians in this community, if all Christians around the world were known primarily for the love that they have, for the love that they show? You know that's not always the case, because you have friends who are sick of Christians and sick of church, and you see the way Christians sometimes are portrayed in the media, and sometimes we have earned that because we have not been known for our love. But Jesus says this is to be our defining characteristic as his followers, to love one another with the love that looks like his. In 1 John chapter 3, near the end of our Bibles, we're told, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Now, I wish you would say not just with words, because, of course, part of the action, some of the action that you do is loving words, loving speech. But he's saying don't stop there. Actually love each other. The example he gave just a little bit right there in another spot is if you have financial resources and you could help and don't and just say, "Oh, yeah, love you," you know, but you don't actually help, like, that's not love. Actually, I think that happens in 1 John chapter 4, where he says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Talked about that a little last week. That is God's defining characteristic. That's why that should be our defining characteristic as his followers, as his children. God is love. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is both amazing and terrifying to me. No one has seen God, but they see us. And we have the opportunity to show God to people. It says, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. His love is fully realized, is made visible in us, in the way that we live with each other and in the world. God lives in us. Our lives are the evidence of God's love. Which is amazing that God would choose to do this. And it's also pretty terrifying, because that's such a great responsibility now that I have to think about the ways I interact with you, the ways I interact with the people I'll be spending time with this week. I have to think about the ways I interact with my family. And all of these things, the ways that I interact with other people can show people the reality of God, the God who is love. Or it can show them something very different. So we are called to love, and not just as a warm feeling in our hearts, but to actually show it, to do it. And so what we're doing these weeks is we're looking at some of the characteristics of love as described in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13, in the love chapter. The chapter that gets read at so many weddings that I use, almost every wedding that I do, unless they have some other scripture they would prefer for me to use. I almost always read a portion of this. I don't read this first part usually. But Paul is letting them know that, like, hey, love is the most important thing. It doesn't matter if you can do all these flashy, supernatural things. It doesn't matter if you are popular. It doesn't matter if everyone looks at you and thinks, wow, look at them. So what matters is love. And so then, and so he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. I'm just making noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. This means it doesn't matter if you've checked off all the religious boxes. It doesn't matter if you can pass the theology quiz. It doesn't matter even if you drop a ton of money in that box. Well, it would matter to me. It would matter to this church. But if you drop a ton of money in that box but you don't have love, he says it doesn't gain you anything. And then he described, this is the part I read at weddings, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And a few verses later, he says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love, he says, is the most important, the most essential. And he describes what that looks like for us. Now, last week, we talked about love being patient, that love is not easily angered, that love means you have a long fuse, and all those people that you want to blow up at you, it takes you a while. You're patient with them because God has been patient with me, with you. God's been patient with us. And so we need to arrange our lives in such a way that we have enough emotional reserve, we get enough sleep, we get enough, you know, that we're not just ready to blow up at any moment. We need to be the kind of people in the world that can reflect God's patient love to others. And today we're talking about kindness. Kindness. Love is kind. And I'm just kind of interested. I mean, I think of kindness and like, what does that look like? And have you experienced kindness? Kindness sometimes can seem in short supply and we just are rushing past each other. Especially, I know I poke fun sometimes, especially like online on Facebook and that kind of thing. We have this tendency not to be kind. You know, we assume the worst about other people, and if somebody sends us something, it could be in your email, it could be on Facebook, and you see something about somebody you already don't like, you know, because you didn't vote for them, and you don't like them, and you hope that, you know, whatever. You see something you don't like, or about somebody that you don't like, you tend to believe it, don't you? Something that makes them look worse, you're like, that's right, I knew they were no good. And then you share it with all your friends, and like, well, wait, was that kind? I don't know. I never thought about, am I being kind to that person? Am I being kind to the people I'm sharing this with who may not have any idea whether this is true or not? They're trusting me to pass along something true, and I may have just passed along a lie. All the kinds of things, there's something about online interactions. I love Facebook. I get to interact with pastors and other folks around the world. I've got a friend that lives in the Netherlands that's a pastor in a church over there that I never would have met except for online forums and stuff like that. It's amazing. We get to know what people are going through on the other side of the world, and we get to have friendships with people. But there are so many times where conversations get heated and, frankly, quite unkind online. But that's just kind of, I know some of you are like, come on, that's silly. I don't spend a lot of time online. Well, you know, the atmosphere that we live in and that we breathe here in this country has gotten a little bit less kind, wouldn't you say, in recent years? A little bit more heated, disagreements. It's harder and harder to disagree in agreeable ways, to work with people that you have strong differences with toward common goals. This has become increasingly difficult. Kindness seems like it's in short supply in our culture. And we, as followers of Christ, have an opportunity to change that, to change our culture, at least the little part that we influence. But I'm just curious if any of you have experienced kindness. I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to turn to somebody near you. And if you have experienced kindness, has someone been kind to you in the past week, past month? It had an influence on you, and it's coming to your mind right now. You know what? That person really was kind. That was a kind thing that they did, a kind thing that they said. And if you are stumped, oof, hopefully somebody else has got something, all right? So just a couple minutes, just turn to somebody near you or grab somebody, find somebody near you. Go, if somebody's by themselves, go grab them. And just a couple minutes. Share something, some way someone's been kind. Well, I hear a lot of chatter, so I'm hoping that means that some people have been kind. Someone's been kind? Does anybody want to just, like, shout out an example of kindness that you experienced? Oh, maybe we should wait until people are done. Anybody have an example of kindness you just wanted to shout out real quick? Yeah, Lexi. Who had their hand up back there? Oh, Family Promise, yes. Family Promise is a new shelter ministry starting up here in Porter County. And we're going to be participating in it. It's specifically for families. And so they've been working on it for the last year and a half or so, getting everything together, getting partner churches together to serve as host sites, getting funding together because they have a day center in Portage that they're putting together. And it's kind of nice because it's countywide and it's not just here in Valparaiso. So there are churches in Portage are getting involved, churches all over, and we plan to be one of them where for a week at a time we'll be host to a family. They will be with us in the evenings, and Family Promise handles all the transportation. They will bring the families here. We'll set up like a bedroom in here and a bedroom in an elementary room and a bedroom in a preschool. You know, so they'll have different parts of the building would be bedrooms, 3 to 4 families, people with kids, who sometimes have trouble finding a shelter spot. And they'll be with us in the evening, and then in the morning we'll serve them dinner, and in the morning give them breakfast, and then they'll go. And we'll have them for a week, and then they'll move on to another church. And so 3 to 4 times a year we'll be playing host to some homeless families here in our church building. And they are hopefully they've got some work to be done at the day center that I think is supposed to happen later this summer. And then they should be able to take off and get going. So that's what Family Promise is. Thank you for asking. Anybody else an example of kindness? Something that has happened to you recently, they're like, you know what, that was kindness. Can I give your example, Stacy, that we were talking about?
I had 3.
You had 3? Examples of kindness. It's a beautiful thing when people are kind. In fact, we've got it there in your notes at the bottom of the front there. Ephesians chapter 4:32 tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's again saying we need to reflect back to others the love, the kindness, the compassion, the forgiveness that God has offered to us. So if God has been good to you, you have an opportunity to be good to someone else. You know, I was reading a book this last week where, as a business person, it's actually called Love Works, where the title idea was from. In it, he talks about how he's leading with love at his place of employment and how they're trying to do that in their job. And he describes kindness as just making people's day better. He said, every person you have an interaction with, you have an opportunity to either make their day worse or make their day better. And his mom told him when he was a high school athlete and he was walking down the hall with his mom towards some football banquet, and some younger students were like, hey, Joel. And he just kind of gave him a little head nod as he was talking to his mom, and she stopped him. She put her finger in his chest. She's like, you don't do that to kids. They look up to you. You're going to have a chance to make their day better. And it, like, really made an impression on him. Like, you need to make their day better, not make their day worse. And for his whole life has tried to just, okay, when I interact with people, how can I make their day better? That's an example of kindness. As you interact with someone, you have an opportunity to be kind, to be compassionate, to offer back to them the goodness that God has given to you. Now, this applies, I think, to like everyone you will come across. It applies to strangers. There's a great example in the book of Acts in chapter 4 where the early church, I think 3 and 4? I'm trying to remember where that actually happens, where Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and there's this beggar on the side of the road, and they stop and they help him, and he's healed by the power of Jesus that's present there in that moment. And they describe that as they're talking to others. They're saying, this is an act of kindness to a stranger, just some person they bumped into on the street, and they could have just brushed right past, don't have time, but instead they stopped and they were kind. And because they stopped and were kind to this person, the power of God did a miracle in that person's life, and it gave them an opportunity to talk to all sorts of folks about Jesus, about the one who'd been kind to them, who'd been good to them. And so being kind to strangers sometimes means you have an opportunity then for God to work through you and for Jesus to be glorified and for you to have a chance perhaps to talk about him. Of course, we want to be kind to the people closest to us, right? People that we love, people that like husbands being kind to wives, wives being kind to husbands, kids being kind to parents, parents kind to kids. Did you know you can do that? I mean, I think maybe parents, we think about being kind to kids. Kids, do you know you can be kind to your parents? Isn't that amazing? I've heard parents describe before how this works. I'm hoping my boys grow up to be kind and that they are kind to us. But like you just find some little way to do something good. And a lot of times kindness involves like something unexpected, right? There's a little surprise element to kindness. It's not just doing what you should do, you know, what's expected of you, but doing something a little bit unexpected, like dropping that movie off at your work. You know, she wasn't expecting that. Those things tend to be noticed. It shows up as kindness. And sometimes it's the people closest to us that we tend to then take for granted, right? They're always there. Oh, yeah, I can count on them. And so we forget to be kind. And because life is hard and because people are unkind to us and because we tend to walk through life sometimes with a whole lot of frustration and whatever, stress, the people who are closest to us sometimes bear the brunt of that, don't they? And we forget, you know what, I've been dumping a lot on them lately. I need to make sure I find a way to be kind. What can I do that would be good? What could I do that would make their day better? And then I think the most unexpected, the way we can show kindness that makes the perhaps the biggest impact is when we are kind to people who have not been kind to us. And that's what, if you flip the page over, there are several scriptures there about that. That very thing. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, and he says, we have this also recorded in Matthew's gospel. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. That's the line I would love for you to underline in that. You will be children of the Most High. You'll be children of God because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Jesus is saying, God gives us this example. He is kind even to people who don't deserve his kindness, which, if we're honest, has often included us. And so if we want to be children of our Heavenly Father, if we want to look like Dad, then we're going to be kind to people who don't deserve it. And we're not just going to be kind to people who have been kind to us. We're going to be kind to those who are unkind. We're going to love our enemies. We're going to pray for them. We're going to bless them in some way. And that's what blessing means too, right? I mean, that you're blessing them. You're doing something kind, doing something good. You're making their day better. Now, I think the Apostle Paul perhaps had this in mind when he wrote to the Romans. And we looked at part of this passage last week as we were talking about patience. Being patient with people that you want to get them back for what they did to you, but you're going to be patient. You're going to leave that up to God. You're going to let God be God and deal with that. I expanded a little bit here, okay? So I think he was thinking of the same thing because he starts out, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. It's almost exactly what Jesus had said. Now he's writing to these early Christians living in Rome. He says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. They're evil to you. Don't be evil back. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, that's a hugely important if there. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Some people will make it impossible for you to live at peace with them. And then all you can do is kind of try to bless them from a distance, you know, and not be right up close to them because they are just not going to make let you live peacefully with them. But if it, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Now last week I mentioned that verse and then skipped down to verse 21 where he says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And I skipped over the part where he describes one way we can do that because I wanted to share it today. He says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Which is a reference back to an Old Testament passage. It says, if your enemy is hungry, you don't laugh and say, ha ha, serves you right. You know, if they're thirsty. He says, you meet your enemy's needs. I heard one pastor describe patience and kindness this way. He said, patience is saying, you know what, I'll just take whatever my enemy wants to give. I'll patiently endure. I'll suffer whatever that is. I'm not going to take revenge. Patience means I'll take what they dish out. Kindness means I'm gonna give my enemy what they need. Kindness is returning good in place of evil, which I love the fact that he says you're overcoming evil with good because that's what God does. That's what God, he takes what is evil and he overcomes it with good. That's what happened on the cross. That's what Easter is all about. God takes evil and he overcomes it with good. And we have the opportunity to do that as we love, as we are kind to people who do not deserve it. People who, frankly, deserve our rejection. People who deserve our bitterness, our anger, our frustration. And Jesus is calling us to find a way to love them. Find a way to be kind. Because God has been kind to us. Now, you might have somebody in your mind right now, and you're thinking, I don't know how to be kind to them. I don't know what on earth could I do. And there's probably going to be some opportunity, all right? Just now that you're thinking about it, and now that you've heard this today, this week, if this is someone that you interact with, my guess is God's going to provide some opportunity this week for you to be kind to them. You're going to see them have a need of some sort. And you're going to have the opportunity to meet that need, to show kindness. It could be as simple as them struggling to get through a door, and you're going to hold the door open for them. And you're going to smile at them. You say, here, let me help you. And they're going to be kind of like confused because you're enemies or frenemies or whatever it is. Because you don't usually get along, and here you are being kind to them. That's kind of that heaping burning coal. We had a fun conversation about the heaping burning coals thing Wednesday night at our Bible study, where we talk about these things a lot. At least some people, that image, different people have taken all sorts of different ways, but one way that makes sense to me is that this is giving an opportunity for their conscience to be worked on by God's Holy Spirit. You are kind to them, and it reveals to them that, wow, I've not been kind to them. Why are they doing this for me? Maybe I should be kinder. Maybe I shouldn't be such a jerk. Maybe I should make a change. It's that idea of rethinking your life and making a change. The Bible calls that repentance. And that's what a little bit later, well, if you skip down a verse, Romans chapter 2, it says, do you show contempt for the riches of, it's talking about God, of God's kindness, his forbearance, his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God is kind to us, not because God is just like, it doesn't matter what they do, I'm just going to love them anyway. God is kind, God is patient, God loves us because he wants to see us repent. He wants to see us realize that the way we've been living is not right, where we just perpetuate the cycles of violence, and someone is bad to me, and I'm just bad to them, and that just gets uglier and uglier and uglier, doesn't it? And that's the way the world lives. That's what comes natural to us. Someone hurts you, you hurt them back. And don't you want to hurt them back a little bit worse? I mean, that's I do. I mean, that's what comes naturally to us. I see that come naturally to my boys. We are working so hard to teach them not to hit, you know, but they're brothers. They're twin brothers. They're 2 years old. And one of them takes the toy that the other one has, and the other one, and, you know, like swings, you know. And thankfully, they're not really making fists yet, and like smacking each other on the head. And no hitting. Gentle touches. You know, we wanted to teach them not to do this. But it just kind of comes naturally, doesn't it? They hit me, I'm going to hit them harder. Which then they've been hit harder, and they're like, hey, that wasn't fair, and they want to hit us harder. And the next thing you know, we're reading about all kinds of war and violence and ugliness on the news, and violence just escalates and escalates. And we, as God's children, we as people whom God has moved to interrupt that cycle of violence by taking our evil and overcoming it with good. And now we have the opportunity to be his children and to not return evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good, to be kind to those who have been unkind to us, so that perhaps, you know, we repent of our childish ways of returning violence for violence, and God helps us to live differently, and as we do, he helps others to come to that same realization. Now, if there is somebody you're struggling to do this for, that's why I threw this Titus verse in here from Titus chapter 3. It reminds us that at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Describes God's intervention in Jesus Christ as God's kindness toward us that has transformed our lives, not because we were good and deserved it, but just because God loved us. And so if that person that you're having such a hard time being kind to because they're being so unkind to you, maybe it helps to remember, you know what? God's been kind to me when I didn't deserve it. Others have been kind to me for no reason, nothing I did. God helped me to be kind to them. I just included this last verse from Micah chapter 6, verse 8, because, well, we have this on our wall in our boys' playroom because it's made such an impact on us. Where he says, God has told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? This is a requirement that God has for us. Now, I know there's some translations describe it, love mercy. Maybe you've heard it said that way or sung that way in song. Other translations say faithfulness. It's this Hebrew word chesed. I can't quite get the part at the beginning right. It's this Hebrew word for the faithful love of God, the unfailing love and kindness of God. And we are called to love kindness, to humbly follow our Heavenly Father, to humbly follow Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in being kind to others. So today, you're going to have an opportunity to be kind. This week, you're going to have an opportunity to be kind to somebody you don't like. And when you do this, God is going to use that opportunity to work through you, to show love. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, it is amazing to me that you have been kind to me, that you have been loving to me, that when we were your enemies, when we were shaking our fists at you, trying to do life our own way, you didn't reject us or condemn us, but you loved us. And in your infinite kindness, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And then, God, even more amazing, you transform us and you make us into a people of love, and you work through us to change the world. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of your transforming work here on the planet, among human beings, among the people that we will see and interact with this week. God, we need your help. We cannot do this on our own. You know what our natural inclination is. It's to just ignore. It's just to not care. It's to return evil for evil. God, we need your help. Forgive us our sins, God. Transform our hearts that we might be a people of love. You're going to provide us opportunities this week, God. I am confident of it. We have opportunities every single day to be kind, to rise above our apathy and our indifference, and to show kindness. God, help us this week. Move in us by your Holy Spirit that we might show your loving kindness to those around us. Thank you, God. Thank you that we have this sacrament of communion where we remember your great love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We offer you these gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood, remembering the great kindness you showed to us, the great mercy that you showed to us, the great grace you've shown us in Jesus Christ, that you would take our sin on yourself, Lord Jesus, and by your death and resurrection, break the power of sin and death and set us free. We give you thanks. Transform our hearts, we pray, as we open them to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the band's going to come and lead us. I'm going to take this opportunity to say that is not her fault. That computer has been acting up this morning, and so if you notice during some of the songs earlier, like, why hasn't it moved to the next verse? It's been hiccuping, unfortunately. So the band's going to lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with this basket of bread and this cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and return to your seat. This is an opportunity for us to celebrate the amazing love God has shown us in Jesus Christ. So if today you're hungry for his grace, if today you're grateful for his love, you're invited to come and to celebrate the great victory that Christ has won over sin and death for you. Oh God, we are so grateful to you for the freedom, for the life, for the grace that we experience in Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ that we might live in this freedom this week, that we might reflect your patience, your kindness, your love to everyone that we meet. You are good to us, God. Help us to be good to each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Can I serve?